When I was in Ecuador particularly, I got involved with some of the mystery sites out there that connect to this idea of, a possible lost civilization that's been, buried by the jungle. And so, some people might have read about this, but there was a site in the Yanganates jungle, which is it's a particularly hazardous area of the Ecuadorian jungle. And where you may have heard of this is for the story of the lost treasure of the Inca. Because when they basically executed Atahualpa, his brother took half, this rumor knowing, took half of the treasure that was en route to the Spanish, and he diverted into the Yanganates, which is essentially swamps, mountains, freezing fogs. It's just a really harsh environment. So, for the Spanish to go in and find this treasure, pretty impossible. But in that same area, what's been discovered is a peculiar megalithic wall. So anyone can look this up. It was covered in, I think it was the Telegraph, that we ended up going a couple of expeditions into this site where you've got essentially very similar stonework to, you'd see at the megalithic sites in Peru, which is not surprising in that, it borders with Ecuador, of course. But this site is deep into a jungle area where there should be no civilizations, right? The other thing I noticed is between the blocks, there was a kind of mortar. And the Peruvians, like all of the known sites with polygonal megalithic blocks, have no mortar, right? They're all just perfectly fitted together. There's the story, you can't put a razor blade between them and all that. But well, this had mortar, and that's really weird, because it means this is not the same culture, but it's a very similar style. I believe it's older. I think that what we're seeing here is a site that has been, completely lost to time, overgrown by the jungle, and that could possibly go back to the 12,000 years, time range where we've got this kind of the great devastation at the end of the Younger Dryas. A destroyed megastructure made of silica, that could leave traces. Engineering the genome of humans should leave traces. And a multi-directional bombardment, that's got to leave traces, yeah? And so I thought to myself, well, look, I'm not going to come out straight away and talk about this until I check these enough. So over a period of time, I did a deep dive. And I was frankly astonished to find that, yeah, there is this mysterious rain of glass, of silica glass, that occurs 788,000 years ago. It's called the Australasian Tektite Strewn Field. And for over 130 years, scientists have been trying to understand the exact cause of this glassy rain.
Now, before we jump into the topic of this conversation, just want to make everyone aware that I've recently been demonetized on YouTube. I will be able to reapply for monetization on the 26th of November, but until then, YouTube has turned the tap off in terms of being able to make advert revenue, which was quite a significant portion of my income on a monthly basis. I've had a really amazing outpour of support from people via PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, contributing to try and help me get through this short little process of demonetization on YouTube. And I just want to say thank you so much to all of you that have already donated and given what you can. It's really much appreciated. Anyone else who's able to do that to help support my work whilst I kind of navigate through this brief period of demonetization on YouTube, that would be much appreciated. They didn't give me a solid reason why I was demonetized. It was apparently a copyright infringement, but they didn't specify the video. I tried to reappeal and they denied my reappeal. So yeah, that's my situation right now.
And there's so many different sites around the world. One of them that's caught my attention recently, because I'm also diving down the whole like psychoacoustic architecture and the deliberate harmonic engineering of some of these temple sites, specifically the subterranean ones, many of them BC. The Hypogeum in Malta, the Hypogeum of Hal Saflieni. This is another place that they try and convince us was carved out of antler tools and basic tools. And this is a meticulously crafted, multi-geometric layered subterranean resonance chamber, because they have demonstrated that it literally creates these novel standing wave patterns. It oscillates, like I think it in the oracle room, which is what they call like kind of the main central nexus of the site. The actual frequency is that of a male voice, like a baritone male voice. There's a lot to be said, and this is kind of going down a slightly different route, sticking with the same thing, but there's a lot to be said about this kind of sacred sound science, this harmonic science. And this is something we're only just tapping into, infrasound and the kind of experiments into changing brainwave states. So I think that, you know, one of the reasons why people say, well, where is the technology, is they don't realize you're standing inside the technology when you go to some of these places. I think that whatever they were doing, maybe from intuitive shamanistic sage experiences and kind of translating that information over time, they seem to be adepts at transcendental consciousness influencing the body and absent any sort of biophysical or biological knowledge that we have. So that's what interests me, is how did they intuit things we're only just discovering in like the 2000s and onwards, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, if you look here at West Kennet Long Barrow, which people are not familiar with the landscape here, you know, you've got Avesbury Stone Circle, which is the largest stone circle, larger than Stonehenge. And then very nearby, you know, in walking distance, you've got Silbury Hill, the largest mound. And then across from Silbury Hill, you've got West Kennet Long Barrow, which is the largest, fairly complete Long Barrow in the UK, as far as I understand it. But the West Kennet Long Barrow has the acoustic properties built into it as well. So there was experiments done there showing that it produces infrasound. You know, so if you are to use, let's say you use a bull roarer or drums, perhaps in the entranceway, you know, the reverberations in it will create infrasound that would modify brain function. It's on, you know, the same kind of frequencies as brain function. So you'd have these sites, which are getting written off again as burial mounds, which I don't like to use the term burial mound because to me,
they're just to incorporate exquisite psychoacoustic engineering.
Right. Well, you've got that question is, why would you do that? You're just going to put, you're going to sling a few dead bodies in it, but instead, you've built it so that it can produce infrasound that affects the human brain. Well, dead people don't need their brain affected, right? So you've got a site that in reality, the people would have probably walked up the hill on a kind of pilgrimage to this site, you know, built up on the hill, overlooking Silbury Hill and Ainsbury. You know, you've got to think where they're putting this sacred landscape. And you would have, no doubt, this is my view, you would have probably gone in, washed in the sacred well, which is not far from that. You'd have, the Earth Mother, you know, contacting the Earth Mother. You'd gone into the thing, right, as the sun goes down, because they're east-west aligned, right? So you go in as the sun is dying. And if you look from the top of Long Barrow, as most of them, the alignment of the chambers, it looked like a person. It's got legs, arms, and a head. So the internal structure is like a person. You crawl in between the legs. What does that mean, you think? So you're crawling into the womb of the Earth Mother as the sun god dies. You're dying. You go in. Across the floor is spread a mixture of quartz crystals that catch the light of the moon, and also you have bone fragments from multiple people. These are not complete skeletons normally. They're understood to be skeletons of people who've been buried and then later dug up. So you have a mishmash of bones in there. These are not complete burials. So spread across the floor are the bones of the ancestors. So you're in there with the ancestors in their physical presence and their non-physical presence. You now have somebody at the entranceway who's either spinning a aurora or playing a drum. So you're in the darkness, complete darkness, which we know modifies brain states, right? And you've got this intense thing going on. You've been told, you know, you're going in there to be reborn. You know, so you can imagine the intensity anyway. And you're now experiencing the effects of mind-altering infrasound and the repetitive sounds of a drum or a aurora. And at this point, you know, somewhere in the night, you will either meet the Earth Goddess or the ancestors. That is the idea of what's happening to you. And in the morning, as the rays of the new sun come up, reborn, so are you. And you crawl out from between the legs of this mother, and you are reborn to the tribe. Right. Or, Jay, what's that? What's that? Well, they just slung a few dead bodies in.
Well, yeah, or they just threw a couple of dead people. Well, no, I mean, this is the thing, man. It's like it would be excusable if it was one site, but it's all over the world, you know, from Egypt to Peru to Ireland. You know, it doesn't matter. Newgrange, another fascinating place in Ireland, which exhibits psychoacoustic properties. Yeah. Chavín de Huanta, like there's so many different areas around the world. Obviously, the King's Chamber and Queen's Chamber inside the Great Pyramid. That's an incredible place, which is deliberate. Yeah, deliberate psychoacoustic engineering once again. And so, like, you know, it's incredible to me that it's not only just that, it's the placement of these sites. You know, they almost always are on some form of geomagnetic grid line, constellation alignment. And so, you know, you're looking at, in my opinion, almost like a really ancient Tesla tech. So there's no wires, there's no cables, because you're actually kind of piggybacking on the natural mediums of energy around the planet biomagnetically. You're using your own biomagnetic input as well through harmonics and oscillation. Kind of gets even deeper into things like the simulation theory. Are we in a fractal reality because of this recursive feedback loop that you're kind of putting in? And through this, we fall into these wells of consciousness and gain insight. And honestly, man, like, I think that these people were masters of that. And we have just completely lost this history. And it's been suppressed, 100% been suppressed, because these are tools of enlightenment, tools of profound realization, you know?
Absolutely. And we know today that there are still people in the scientific world who get insights through altered states. I mean, you know, this argument over where Einstein gained some of his core insights during dreamlike states, you know, daydreaming. We have the case of, I can't remember the name of the Indian mathematician who said he was talking to Shiva and she was giving him these mathematical, you know, codes, which he still used today, you know, and he said that's where he got them.
I think the cherry on top of the cake is René Descartes, because he's responsible for what we call like modern day reductionism and rationalism. Mm-hmm. And he was given these through a fever dream where he believed he encountered an angel, and an angel came to him and gave him this like message about measurement and number. And he founded rationalism, which is then used to debunk paranormal experiences. So it's like the greatest nodes in science were people who were plugged into that intuitive flow. There's no denying it.
I just want to make everyone aware that I've recently been demonetized on YouTube. I will be able to reapply for monetization on the 26th of November. But until then, YouTube has turned the tap off in terms of being able to make advert revenue, which was quite a significant portion of my income on a monthly basis. I've had a really amazing outpour of support from people via PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, contributing to try and help me get through this short little process of demonetization on YouTube. And I just want to say thank you so much to all of you that have already donated and given what you can. It's really much appreciated. Anyone else who's able to do that to help support my work whilst I kind of navigate through this brief period of demonetization on YouTube, that would be much appreciated. They didn't give me a solid reason why I was demonetized. It was apparently a copyright infringement, but they didn't specify the video. I tried to reappeal and they denied my reappeal. So yeah, that's my situation right now.